Hi, and welcome to story number two of El Cafecito Travel Talks, a podcast where people share travel stories and adventure. I'm Tony Lloyd, your host. Each week, I sit down with different travelers and we talk about their adventures, how they decided to take their journey, who they are, where they're from, what were they doing before, why did they decide to do this, but most importantly, how are they doing it? This project is still a grassroots project, so we're working on different aspects of it. So if there's any comments or suggestions that you have at any time, please let us know. We're looking for feedback. It's all about community. It's all about putting together something that you would like and enjoy listening to. And I'm more than willing and open to listen to your comments. I know that we're going through a very difficult time right now. We're still facing the issues of the coronavirus, and hopefully this will all clear up soon and we'll be able to get back on the road traveling again. And good for fortunate for us, we have already pre-recorded most quite a few of the shows, so we do have some material for you for the next few weeks. But hopefully, as I said, things will get back to normal and we'll have new and fresh materials. Maybe I'm looking forward to having some stories about where were you when and what happened, where were you traveling, were you at home, you know, maybe as a result of this time at home and of the situation that's happening all over the world. There's a few people I'm sure out there would have decided that this is the thing for them to do. Life is too short. Let's go see the world and let's see what's happening out there. So obviously, when you're ready for that, the people who are returning back on the road or the people who are taking the road for the first time, you're more than welcome here at the El Cafecito in Cuenca, Ecuador, or our sister location in Quito, Ecuador, where I'm recording right now from Cuenca. Please send us the feedbacks, as I mentioned. The email is elcafecitotraveltalks@gmail.com. I would like to thank our editor, Marshall Donnelly, who has been helping out with trying to get this show on the road. For our second edition of El Cafecito Travel Talks, I actually have someone who, after suffering a really bad skiing accident, was in a coma for some time and then had to learn how to walk again, how to talk again, not only in his native language, but also in English. So at certain points during this interview, you might hear a bit of stuttering that goes on, but that's also because of his having to learn how to speak again. There's still sometimes it might cause a little bit of a stutter, but I think he's got a very interesting story, and I think this is one of the reasons I do something like this, because I think people like him are very inspiring, and just shows you how you could turn around from situations where you thought this is not going to be possible and then make it possible again. So I think it actually goes a little bit with the whole issue of the coronavirus right now. Just know we will overcome and we'll be able to go back on the road and travel again. So please enjoy while having yourself a cup of tea or a coffee. Welcome back to Cafecito Travel Talks. Today I'm here with my guest, a very special guest, which I met a few days ago here in the Cafecito. Could you please introduce yourself to the audience?
Hi, I'm Michael Stang. In English, you would pronounce it Michael Stang. I'm from Germany. I'm visiting here Cuenca in Ecuador for a few days. I'm just here for traveling.
Okay. Well, the reason I've asked Michael to sit down with me today to talk here on Cafecito Travel Talks is because Michael has a very special story. You know, every day I meet people either here in Ecuador or outside of Ecuador that say, oh, I can't travel, and they have 101 excuses why they cannot travel. And also, like in most situations, people are like, okay, because I can't do this, I can't do that. Michael is someone who I'll have him explain in a second, but I would consider a traveler who's traveling with a very special situation.
Michael, could you explain to them what has happened and why?
I will explain it very short. 1.5 decades ago, I had an accident while I was skiing. I had some hematomas in my brain, on the left side of the brain, so the complete right side of my body was paralyzed. I was 1.5 years in hospital, and during that time, I had to learn every movement of my body for new. And okay, I did for my before my accident many things, but after that I cannot do them, and I have to decide to do something other. So I decided to travel.
Okay, so our whole purpose of today's show is to explain to people that even after certain situations that can happen and occur in life, in everyday life, that travel is still a point of way to go out and see the world and to overcome different odds. Michael, actually explain to us a little bit about what you were doing before the accident. What sort of work were you doing?
I'm a mechanical engineer. I work in a plant since 15 years. Okay. No, 16 years. And before my accident, I did a lot of things like playing instruments in different bands. I was flying, I had the flying license. I painted a lot. I loved skateboarding. But after this accident, nothing was possible to do. So I had to decide to do something other.
Okay. Do you mind sharing with us a little bit about what happened that day of the accident?
I can because I cannot remember this day.
Okay, so it's the whole day has just been blank.
The whole day, and I was 2.5 weeks in coma, and since I woke up from a coma, I can remember maybe 2 weeks.
2 weeks. So a 2 week period of your life now you're not able to recall what happened in that 2 weeks. Okay. But the time
No, longer. I think it was 1 month.
Okay. 1 month. Okay, and but the time span before that month, like your childhood, your family, that memory you do have?
When I woke up from the coma, it was a little bit difficult for me to decide, is this my mother or is this my father? But in the end, okay, it was all right.
Okay, so now you do have the memory of them and you do accept them as their father. So I'm not your father.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can see.
Well, they can't see because they're listening to us.
I can see.
But just so that we know that now you, that part of the memory you've got back.
Yeah.
Okay, so explain to us 15 years, because you said a decade and a half, so we're talking 15 years.
15 years.
Explain to us a little bit about those 15 years. What was life like for you in those 15 years? Even if we bring it in like maybe 5, 10, 15, the first 5 years, the second.
Okay, I would know this. I was 1.5 years in hospital.
Okay.
And the next 10 years. After that, I had to fight against my paralyzation of my body, but I think that was only half of the work. The other half was to reconstruct my brain, to learn to speak, to learn to think. I had to my memory was very, very bad. So for example, the first 2 weeks after coma, I didn't notice where I am.
Okay.
I forgot it every 5 minutes. And the 10 years after the accident, I had to do a lot of sports because sports are very good for my body, work against the paralyzation,
When you say sports, do you mean physiotherapy or?
Physiotherapy.
Okay.
Physiotherapy, okay. But you go to physiotherapy once or two times a week, okay. But you have to do many, many sports every day for your own to come along with your paralyzation.
Okay. And at that time, and there's a period in which period were you, so you came out of the hospital, you're at home, when were you able to then go back out on the streets and do and start to be a little bit more mobile?
So it was a process.
Mm-hmm.
I went out to the street first time only one or two times a week, then it got every time more. And for example, after these 1.5 years in hospital, I started to work. And I think this was the point where they lent me out to civilization.
Okay. Okay. And what was your work life like? Explain to us a little bit about how was it for you to go to work? Were you able to walk to work? Were you using crutches? What was the experience like for you at that point when you started working?
Okay. At this time, I was able to walk very, very slowly.
Okay.
I was able to drive a car. So I had to drive to make my driving license again, but it was possible. And in this time in my job, I had to learn for my job. So it was not so necessary that I'm on stress every day, every minute.
Okay. So 10 years goes by. You are working, you're starting to create a routine again in your life.
Yeah.
So when did the travel bug bite you? When did you decide that you wanted to travel? Explain to us a little bit about that. Since we are a travel story. Travel talk.
It's true. It started to travel, in my case, step by step. So first time I did travels only 2 weeks. Only in Europe, not far away from my hometown, so it would be possible to get back every time. Mm-hmm. And these were language travels, so I was under suspicion.
Supervision.
Suspicion.
Suspicion is something else.
Okay.
I would assume supervision.
Supervision every day, and the teachers from this language school looked over me. That was really good, necessary for me. Then maybe 6 years ago, I started to travel for my own, not in language schools. In countries which were far away, and the reason for me to travel is, I want to see new things, and especially I want to learn other people from all over the world, and I think the most important thing for myself is traveling is for me a challenge.
I think not only for yourself, but I think for a lot of travelers, it's about understanding how do I get from point A to point B? How do I take this bus? How
sure.
do I
yeah.
take this flight? And I totally understand what you mean. It's the challenge of like, okay, you could have decided to stay home in a very safe and known environment, but by going out, you're facing daily challenges all the time. I think that's what I understand from what you're saying to me. So when you said before, sorry, I'm going to go back for 1 second, when you said you were doing language courses, was that language courses in relation to German to relearn how to, what you said that you had to relearn how to speak, or was other languages?
No, I wanted to learn other languages.
Okay.
Especially Spanish.
Okay,
so that's why I'm here.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your trip so far. You've done Bolivia, Peru, and now you're in Cuenca, Ecuador.
Yeah.
So how, okay, you flew into Bolivia, I'm assuming.
I landed in La Paz.
Okay.
I stayed there for 3 days to get accommodated to the altitude and to the time lag. Then I traveled to Sucre, Toposí, to Pisa. I did for 3 days the Salar de Uyuni, then back to La Paz. I moved through the border to Peru. I visited there Lake of Titicaca, Cusco, Machu Picchu, Lima, Trujillo, Ancora, and then now I'm here.
Now you're here in Cuenca. Okay, what you just said sounds pretty challenging for a person who has all their motor skills. If people, well, they can't see you because we're talking on a podcast, but explain to us about a little bit about some of the challenges for you to do a trip like this.
Big challenge for me is I take always night buses because it's cheaper. You save money for accommodation and so on. And another big challenge for me is because my walking is so different to others. Mm-hmm. For example, to climb mountains, to descend mountains, I have real difficulties with this, but I think it's only a sporty challenge for me.
Okay. Yes, I can imagine, like, for example, just going to the bus station and everybody's pushing their way and shoving through and jumping on and off a bus. It's very customary here in Latin America that the bus drivers will only slow, if you're a male, they'll slow down a little bit and you have to jump off the bus. Have you had, explain, what is it like for you going through a bus station or a bus stop?
Okay. I have some difficulties because I have a heavy bag. Okay. And I had difficulties with the language, for example, because the buses are not always on schedule, so it's a little bit difficult for me to understand these voices.
A little bit difficult to understand.
Yeah. It's a little bit difficult to understand the announcements, and but I think that is not a problem, because you can ask somebody. People are mostly so friendly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say thank you for what you're saying, because I'm looking at you and I see sometimes when I see you walk, I think, okay, well, he needs some help and stuff like that. But the things that you've just described are the sort of same sort of difficulties that people who don't have a previous people who don't have a previous injury would also go through. I like the fact that you just see it as another day, another yourself as another traveler, and that you are able to do the same things that most people are doing. I'm surprised that, you know, with your motor skills, that you're still struggling or still going ahead to climb mountains when there are other people that are just like, oh, I can't do it, you know? And go ahead.
Okay, I have one story for you, because this was a real big challenge for me. I was down in Toposí. I saw these copper mines, tin mines, and this was a really big challenge for me.
To go down into the mines.
To go down to the mines, because working conditions are so bad in these mines, and they have only stairs made of wood, and it is horrible in these narrow purpose to go along and okay, this was a big challenge. I was so glad when I got out of the mines.
And there wasn't a point when you were going down that you were like, well, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, I should be going back up?
The first 5 minutes, okay, it was a little bit uncomfortable for me, but then you get used to it and then I think that's not a problem.
Okay. And what's next on your journey? Okay, from Cuenca, what are you planning to do next?
Next, I'm going to Quito for 1 night.
Okay.
And from Quito, I will go to, what was it called? Cartagena, Colombia.
Okay.
I will spend 3 days on the beach to recover.
Okay.
And then I will go back to Germany.
And did you not have the similar experience to a lot of travelers where people in Germany are saying to you, it's dangerous, why are you going to those places? You know, you obviously will have more difficulties than the regular traveler. Did you have those sort of arguments?
Sure. Even my mother and my uncle, despite these guys are from Colombia, they said to me, it's very, very dangerous. Okay, it's dangerous.
Oh, your mother's Colombian?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting aspect. Okay.
But I think everywhere in the world could be dangerous. Mm-hmm. So you have to know where are you going. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful. And no problem.
No problem. Okay. What has been some of the highlights that you've had on your trip so far? What would you say some of the things that you've really enjoyed?
This trip?
Yeah, this trip.
There were some highlights, especially the mines, were a highlight because it was a big challenge for me. Mm-hmm. Then, for example, Salar de Uyuni, so nice and beautiful countryside, you wouldn't find this in other place in the world.
Okay.
And then, for sure, Cusco Machu Picchu was great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you hear things, when people say things like, okay, I can't travel, and they come up with, oh, because I'm not fit enough, I can't travel because I don't have enough money, or I can't travel for endless amount of reasons. What do you say to those people when they start saying these things to you?
I think everything is possible.
Okay.
And there's no reason because of the lack of money or of the lack of time. You can do this travel. And you should do this because I think it's the best in your life to see other things.
Okay, and is there anyone that you know at home that you think sometimes you think, oh, I wish this person was here to see this happen? Do you have like people around you that you say, you know, this is a particular person that I would like to see this, or you?
Not one particular person. I think there are many persons because they don't know what I'm here doing.
Okay.
When I'm back in Germany, I will tell them I was there, I was there, I was there. But the whole adventure I passed between these moments, I cannot tell them because they wouldn't understand this.
That's the difficult part about traveling, because what you're doing at this moment, there are very few of them. Only the people who are here present will be able to understand what you're doing.
I think you have to recognize you do this traveling only for your own, not for the others.
Okay. No, I agree. I totally agree. Okay, for the last part of our show today, I just want you to, if there's any recommendations that you'd like to give to anyone about traveling, anything that you think that they should think about, or that an encouraging words to people who are thinking, oh, I can't do that. That sounds too hard for me.
I don't know. Just only the slogan from Nike, just do this.
Just do it, okay. So just do it, the slogan from
just
Nike.
Just do it, yeah.
Okay. And if by any chance there's somebody out there that maybe wanted to contact you and maybe ask you some more questions, are you willing to give out an email or something that they could contact you with, and or Facebook or something?
That's no problem, sure.
So, Michael, thanks a lot for joining me here today.
Thank you.
Okay. The audience didn't know this, but I'm sitting here drinking tea while Michael is drinking beer. So yes, another challenge has been taken on in that sense. And I will just, you know, like to say for the very last time that I think what you're doing is very inspirational. I think what you're doing is more than special. I think there are too many people out there that are able to and don't. And I think that there are people out there with certain challenges. And I celebrate you for your challenge in taking this trip.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Bye, everyone. And until the next episode of Captain the Travel Talks. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to show number 2 of the El Capsi to Travel Talks. I hope the show was inspiring. Also like you to invite others to come in, join our community. If you have not done so yet, to take a look at our Facebook page with the written stories. If you're someone who has a story that you'd like to share with us, please, we're more than willing and welcoming of any stories out there. I'd like to give a special thanks to my editor, Marshall Donnelly. Marshall, thanks. And also, please, as I keep mentioning, if you have any suggestions or comments on how to make the show better, what I should be doing, what you like, what you don't like, let me know. Let's hear from you. Our email is elcafecitotraveltalks@gmail.com. So please send me your email. Let me know what you think about the show. Good, bad, in between, let me know. Okay, and please stay tuned. Hopefully things will be back to normal soon, and we will be back on the road traveling. And when that happens, I look forward to seeing you here in Cuenca. And also please check out the El Cafecito in Quito, Ecuador also. For now, goodbye and all the best.